Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor has the emotions of the American public running the gamut. Anger, fear, disgust, grief, and disbelief have the American psyche in turmoil. But as the reality of the attack has had time to settle in, there is an ever-growing sense of frustration at America's inability to strike back at the Japanese. The Navy is still staggering from the blow at Pearl. The Army and Marines are busy training their new recruits, building the forces that will be necessary before any offensive action by the United States will be possible. In Asia, however, a group of Americans known as the Flying Tigers is making the Japanese pay dearly for their bombing excursions over China and Burma. Flying old P-40s with their noses painted to resemble a shark baring its teeth, the Americans are giving the Japanese Air Force all it can handle. This group of volunteers is led by a flamboyant colonel named Claire Chennault. In the years between the wars, when most of the officers in the Army Air Corps were unabashed proponents of the heavy bomber, claiming it was an invincible weapon, Chennault remained a vocal advocate of the fighter plane. He argued that the pursuit plane's ineffectiveness was not due to design limitations of the plane, rather it was due to the tactics devised in World War I. To Chennault, the idea of dueling the enemy in one-on-one dogfights was romantic nonsense. Infantrymen do not win battles alone, only by working together as a team. Combining their firepower can they achieve victory. The same, Chennault argued, is true of fighter planes. In 1937, Chiang Kai-shek, after hearing of Chennault's expertise in pursuit planes, asked him to be an advisor to the Chinese Air Force. On his arrival, Chennault found the situation worse than he could have imagined. Chinese pilots, who were supposedly combat-ready, routinely crashed, simply taking off and landing. Chennault immediately began to revamp the Air Force. He established new training procedures, devised new tactics, and established a vast radio network to warn of the approach of Japanese bombers. Although they were improving, the Chinese pilots were in desperate need of help. By 1941, 100 Japanese planes a day were bombing Chongqing, and the Chinese were having little luck in stemming the tide. Under pressure from Chiang Kai-shek, President Roosevelt reluctantly agreed to let Chennault hire American pilots to fly for the Chinese. Chennault also managed to buy 100 P-40s, which the British had rejected as obsolete. By late summer of 1941, Chennault had recruited 112 pilots and was pushing them through an intensive training program. Flying their first mission on 20 December, the Tigers stun the Japanese. A flight of 20 bombers headed for Kunming is jumped by the fearsome-looking P-40s and is nearly annihilated, with only one bomber returning home. Day after day, the Tigers engage the Japanese with tremendous success. Working in pairs, the Americans make diving passes at the Japanese planes, sending them hurtling toward the ground in flames. Although they are getting the better of the Japanese, the daily combat and the lack of replacement planes and spare parts is beginning to take its toll. Leaking gas tanks are plugged with chewing gum. Bullet-riddled fuselages are repaired with adhesive tape. It takes all the American ingenuity the air crews can muster simply to keep the planes in the air. The Flying Tigers continue to cause the Japanese a considerable amount of frustration. Although their Zeros are faster and more maneuverable than the outdated P-40s, the Americans continue to rack up victories. Although it is certain that this small group of American pilots cannot turn the tide of the war alone, their mere existence and continuing success are enough to worry the Japanese and to spark a flame of hope in the hearts of the American people. Thank you.